You're listening to another great show from the Nod Network. Find more great content at nerdod.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of SideQuest Activated with your host, Reginaldo.
And Davey.
How do, Mr. Dave?
Hi.
Guess what?
What?
It's mini SNES release week.
Yes.
Well, it was. But again, unfortunately, we're a little bit late to the party with this one because I've been too busy playing with my little tiny one. SNES, I mean.
Yes, of course.
Oh my God, literally your mind, Mr. Dave, is in the gutter, which is where the SNES Mini belongs.
No,
it doesn't.
It doesn't.
But I was so tempted to get one of these little SNES Minis,
yeah,
right, because I adore my SNES. After last week's podcast where we basically just rammed the Sega Genesis or the Mega Drive into the ground and we're like, the SNES is the way forward. It is, because the next episode is a SNES special.
Of course.
That's what this is. We want to talk about all things SNES related.
I mean, like, just off the top of my head, like, games-wise, the catalogue for it was just insane. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of releases that actually came out for it was just stupendous. The actual, like, some of the classics that people still worship to this day all came out on the SNES. So the really big titles that obviously we're going to be talking about as we go along. But even down to just, like, the simple things. Like, I always loved the design
It was beautiful, wasn't it? It was the eject button that I adored.
Because there's two versions, isn't there? I know,
the Super Famicom.
Well, there's three then, actually. Because the Famicom... Hang on, was that a Nintendo? That was the original Nintendo, wasn't it? The Famicom.
That's why the Super Famicom, which was the SNES.
There was a SNES one. And then in America, they got one which looked ugly as anything. It was grey with the purple buttons.
That
was hideous. And I think the controllers as well may have just been like... two, like, grey buttons and then a lighter shade of grey for the other two buttons.
Did make me want to fly over there and just punch him in the face, whoever designed it.
Because it's ugly. Like, we definitely
got the beautiful, colourful version.
With, obviously, the aforementioned eject button, which I still adore to this day. Like, I want everything to bring back cartridges for that. And I know, like, on, like, the 3DS and things, you push the cartridge in to eject it and it pops out, and that's satisfying. I still enjoy doing that.
I enjoy that more than playing the games on the 3DS.
I find that as well. But the actual eject button where you could push it in hard and then catch it with the same hand as it pops out. Oh, it's just incredible. I absolutely loved it. It was one of my favourite features.
It was. It was amazing. And the thing about the SNES again, so you've got like the Mode 7, like 3D graphical power behind it, which is amazing. The actual little mouse that you could play Mario Paint with.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing. And the thing that it brought with it, which I thought was amazing, was every single title that they wanted to push so hard, they just put Super in front to make much better.
Everything's better when
Literally,
it's got Super.
Everything is better when Super is in front of
it.
Like, even the worst sort of games. Like, I used to hate the putty games.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't see a point in them, but they were so popular, and I was like, I really don't want it. But, Super Putty. And Super Putty Squad, it was. Yeah. The Super Putty Squad.
It's got Super in front of it.
It must be amazing. Like, Metroid is great. What's even better than Metroid?
Super Metroid. Of course.
You know, Super Mario.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah, Super Mario.
Super Mario.
Super Mario World.
Yeah.
It's a blast from the past. I know that was from the cartoon animated show, but still, every time I think of Super Mario World, that song pops into my head.
Yeah,
and Super Mario Kart, which is by far one of the greatest racing games ever, which we've already gone on about anyway.
I don't want to.
Which we won't do. But what I will do is start with a tale. This starts with a tale of young Reg.
Okay.
So there I was, harking back to the days of Christmas 92.
Let me stop you there. You are going to tell this, but if somehow you can edit in some sort of like really sweet melody in the background over this, like, as you tell it, I would love this even more.
You know the one from Radio 2 it was, when someone's got like the really sad story?
I want something like that. Well, it depends if it's sad, that. If it's something happy, I want, like, you know, like loads of flutes and chirping birds.
There I was, Christmas in 92. My mother and father hated me and got me rollerblades instead of a SNES when it got released.
The end.
Thanks for listening. So, again, we harken back. If you will, open up the curtains to the past. And me and my older brother, we're sitting there. Our Chris wanted a dog for Christmas.
What an idiot.
Right. What an absolute fool. I was like, I stand more of a chance asking for a Super Nintendo with two games. That's all I wanted. I wanted a Super Mario game, and I also wanted Street Fighter. I was like, it's two things that will last me forever.
Yeah.
To these days, those two games still would last you forever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, amazing. I opened up this box and I was like, that is a massive box. That is my SNES. Dead excited. Rollerblades. And I'm like,
I can't play that.
I'm awful with my balance just walking.
Yeah. And plus that means you've got to go outside where consoles aren't.
And not only that, but it's fucking Christmas. So it's icy and icy cold out there.
All pissing down.
So I'm like, ah, oh, great. And like, are you going to go outside and try? And I'm like, oh, I'm cheers, Santa. And I was like, you know, you've been listening to me all year to see if I've been good or bad. And then you think, I've been awful because you got me roller fucking blades.
Is that the moment when you stopped believing?
I think it was.
Because everybody has that, like, everyone remembers when they stop believing or when they're told and things. I actually had some friends that, like, got told in high school. They carried on believing up until high school, and then the teachers just kind of said it, expecting everyone to be aware. I ruined it for myself by asking on Christmas Eve because I didn't want to grow old and have Santa buying presents for people and then find out no one's getting presents. So yours must have been when he gave you rollerblades.
Even worse than that, the way I found out, I think it might have actually been that Christmas or the Christmas before it. We had a burglar alarm in the...
A burglar alarm or a burglar alarm?
Burglar.
Oh, that's a damn shame.
Alarm. It's just an alarm saying, burglars in the house! Woo, woo, burglars! So, a burglar alarm.
Yeah.
Burglar. In the house.
Yeah.
A robber alarm. All right. Fucking a robber alarm. So, piss off. We had one of them in the house, and every night we get set. And then for Christmas, obviously, you leave some whiskey out for Santa instead of a brew, which, you know, we used to when we were tiny, when my dad hit that age where he was like, you know what, just give me whiskey all the time, just non-stop whiskey. Just like feed it into my veins.
Yes.
We used to leave a bottle of whiskey, not just a glass. It was like, it was the bottle of whiskey. And like, looking back now, you're thinking, Santa's a massive pisshead. Because that's one house out of how many million and a billion in the in the world. If everyone leaves him a thing, drink driving on a sleigh full of reindeers must be a nightmare.
Are you saying you applied logic to working out if Santa wasn't real?
Well, no, I'm thinking about now, this is what I was saying.
You sat down and been like, that doesn't make sense. I mean, he'd have to go to hospital and get his stomach pumped. He can't be real.
I'm claiming shenanigans right here. I found out, so every night we'll set the alarm, and then me dad was going, we don't set the alarm on Christmas Eve, because obviously Santa's, when he comes down the chimney, he's going to set off the robber alarm.
Well, obviously, yeah.
And we don't want that. So I was like, that's a good point. So they were drinking, obviously, because that's what all they did. They're drinking. Must have completely forgot that that was the plan of don't set the alarm. So set the alarm. We were, me and Chris were obviously fast asleep because we were like, close your eyes and Santa comes. Like, that sounds bad. But close your eyes. And the sooner you close your eyes, the sooner they will... the sooner Santa will appear.
Yeah.
And like, leave you your presents. Oh, God, this is going to be awkward. And then, so we're fast asleep, and then all of a sudden, the alarm starts kicking off. And we're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, Santa's here. So, like, we cheese it down the stairs, like, dead excited, to find me dad half pissed, just wearing nothing but his wife fronts, just placing down some presents. And he's like, go away! I'm like... Santa's just a drunk dad. But at that time, we didn't realise he was drunk, obviously, because we were like, yay and nay, like, tiny. So we're just like, is Santa dad? And then the morning, my dad was like, oh, no, he dropped them. So I was moving them around, and because, obviously, I didn't want him to come down.
I love the fact that his logic was, like, the alarm's going off. Best keep putting presents away. Just amazing.
Drunken dad's got to do what drunken dad's got to do.
Should probably, like, turn that alarm off. And put some pants on quickly.
No.
No.
No pants.
No, not.
My dad enjoys the no pants dance.
He loves it.
So he was doing that. That's how we found out. Because the next day, my dad was like, I'm sorry you had to find out that way. And we're like... Like walked into a bent over dad, just ass on the show, but our presence isn't like really. We've won those hats that have got the bottles and it's just like whiskey in each, just like sipping away, going, America! But it was not how we found out. It was just the bit before the hat.
An amusing way, at least, to find out.
I found out and he apologised. Mum was like, oh, don't listen to me. He had one too many whiskies last night. It'll be all right. Those kids were like, one too many whiskies, do what?
Didn't have a clue.
Like, don't understand. It was only when we started drinking, we're like, oh my God, that's like, what's going on? It makes me break into people's houses, put presents down just in my wife's room.
Go to bed.
So that's how Kiss Save Christmas.
Yeah, and yeah.
So I
get that image. I don't my head.
No. It's bad because when we stop off later to see my dad's new car, he'd be like, Dad, do you want to take Dave out in the car?
No, I'll walk
with the no pants dance.
So
basically, that's why I like the Super Nintendo.
So when did you get your SNES?
I got rollerblades. And then I opened
up the rest. Did you get the dog as well?
No, Chris didn't get a dog. What he got was a big box.
Okay.
And I'm like, what's inside your big box? And inside the big box was a SNES.
Nice.
With an extra pad, the turbo pad.
Nice.
Which was amazing. And he got the Super Mario package that it come with, and he also got Super Street Fighter 2.
Nice.
And Mario Kart.
So it's he got what you asked
for. So he got what I got, what I wanted, and I got rollerblades.
Which,
looking back now, like, I must have been a right dick.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what the fuck? Well, I was like, what are these?
I'd love it if you were just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, just like launch him at the face, like, how dare you? But I was like, always wanted a pair of rollerblades. Offs.
Lies.
And mum's like, really? And I was like,
no.
Yeah. All my mates, like, or one that I had, he might have rollerblades for Christmas too. Because, like, obviously, no one else had rollerblades because...
The thing is, right, when I was growing up, like, there were a few of my mates that had rollerblades, and I was like, I really want rollerblades. But then I was like...
Did you wish for Christmas 92 to happen as well?
Yeah, I was begging for it.
For my dad just to come into your house.
Just bent over, dropping off rollerblades for me. Well, no, like, I actually wanted rollerblades, and then I was like, I've got a feeling it's the kind of thing I'll, like, use a couple of times and just outgrow straight away. Like, I won't be into them. And then I got a Sidewinder instead. Do you remember
that? Yeah,
them?
You did.
They were the fucking shit.
I remember going down Vale Road on your Sidewinder, which is like a massive hill road in Ellsbury Port that they now put speed bumps down because we used to go down playing Road Rash or Sidewinder, ragging down dead quick and nearly killing ourselves.
Everybody, like, you know, that had rollerblades then got these and I was like, fuck it, I'm in, like, you know. To this day, I still can't do it. And, like, my mates could do it. Now, for people who don't know what Sidewinder is, it's kind of like a skateboard, but it's got, like, 2 foot, like, plates, I'm going to call it, on wheels, and then a metal bar in the middle, and you basically twist your feet left and right, so the board actually snakes to get momentum so you can move. I couldn't do it after trying for a good, like, year. I had no coordination whatsoever. So what we used to do was just go downhill, sat on them, and, like, kind of steer them. Like, we'd sit on one of the
smash
plates.
Smash into cars. It's great.
It's just brilliant. You just, like, try and kick each other off them and things like that. Because obviously we were kids and dickheads.
Yeah.
So, like...
Well, to be fair, because not only did we do that, we also... There was an Asda by us that had, like, a massive set of stairs.
Yeah.
Like, proper big, huge steps.
Go down them on my bike, but I'd try and, like, clear as many as I could first. Yeah.
Or the other thing we used to do was play a game called Whoopenschnagen.
Yeah. Which we just invented, which is just...
which was, you sit in a trolley and go down some stairs. So it was like Jackass before Jackass was Jackass, is basically what that was.
But... I forgot about Whoopenschnagen. But we basically, like, got the Sidewinders and everything, and the SNES was out, like, then, and I was like, oh, kind of dropped the ball here. I really wanted a SNES. So I kind of, like, waited and waited and missed that part. I didn't have the SNES when it was out, but I spent like virtually every day with my friends and they had one, so I was constantly playing it. So as I got older, I bought one and obviously like quickly realised that, you know, the mistakes, the terrible mistakes I'd made. But yeah, just going around to like, there was just like so many little things that just made it perfect. I mean, you've mentioned the pads, obviously, like turbo pads, like on certain consoles are just fucking awful. I mean,
yes,
for the Mega Drive's faults, the big arcade stick with the turbo buttons was amazing. Really impressive. The SNES turbo pads, really good. And even like a lot of the other third party like peripherals for it and things like that.
Yeah.
Some of them were fantastic. Some of them were great. Like, the pads themselves, just having like, going from like, I had the Master System, two buttons, nice and simple. Nintendo, two buttons, nice and simple. Going to the Mega Drive, I had three buttons and a pause button on the pad. Breathtaking. Then you go to the SNES, six buttons, not including start and select.
Yeah.
How your mind can handle that?
It was like, what are these, like, shoulder things? Yeah. I'm like, this is weird.
And they were it was a little addition that just made it perfect, and it was all curved lovely, so it fit to your hand beautifully. And as I said, we got the ones with the coloured buttons as well, so it just stood out, and they were just a nice bit of kit, and, like, very durable as well.
Oh, yeah. They got smashing.
We commented on the last pod, the Mega Drive controller's always, like, breaking buttons, sticking and things like that. I don't think I've ever had or seen someone with a broken SNES controller. And if I have, like, you know, I just don't remember it.
No, simply it was FIFA Rage.
Yeah, we'll go on. We'll go with FIFA Rage. That's what it was. But the actual pads themselves are just, like, fantastic. Just, like, just something that's, for me, like, it's the first thing you pick up, really, isn't it? You get your games and things like that. You got your pad ready to start.
And the thing is, when you get the pad, you don't even turn on the computer, but you play with the pad. Just to get a feel for the pad.
I used to do that.
Yeah.
I'd just like sit there and like, you know, even like if a game's loading up, I'd still be sat there. And with being a cartridge, it only takes seconds, but I'd literally just like start tapping the shoulder buttons or like pushing the face buttons and things or twiddling the D-pad round. Silly little things like that. And it's like, but I don't do it with like my PlayStation and my Xbox. I put it in, that takes a bit of time to load.
Yeah, now these actually take time where you could dick around with the pad.
And I just literally, I'll put the pad down. I'm not arsed. I mean, they're great pads, but the SNES one, for some reason, I always had that, like, oh,
that urge to just have one.
I can't wait to get started. But it was just so much about it that I really enjoyed. That the pads definitely were just like,
and it was the cable length because they were longer than the Mega Drive ones as well, which was,
I mean, they weren't huge by any means, but it was a decent length.
But the thing is, back in the day, you never had like a massive TV to like sit miles away from to actually see the screen. You'd sit quite close to your TV to play your games anyway. So, and cause you had little desks when you were a kid in your room and whatnot to do your homework on, or just play Super Mario.
Yeah,
Super Turrican as well. That was a great game.
Oh, that was incredible.
There was there's so many amazing games on the SNES that like this would take forever if we were going to go through them all.
I mean, obviously we'll mention like a few. Mentioned like Mario Kart, obviously in previous podcasts, so we probably don't need to go over that. We can just safely say it's amazing.
Yes, it is.
Hard as balls, but amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Super Mario World, like it come with like all of them on the one cartridge as well.
Oh,
like
Super Mario All-Stars, was a game changer.
Yeah, so that, like, I remember because when that first came out, I was like, no, that can't be real. It's like when I was like, no, that's not a thing. And then you see it, and it's like, Mario 1, Mario 2, Lost Worlds, Mario 3, Super Mario World. No. Can't be. They're all here, and like literally having that one cartridge was the bomb.
Yeah,
you had everything you needed, and they were all like updated, like tweaked, and they looked like a bit sharper, and like, you know, the nicer color palettes and things. Just great.
It was amazing. That was when remakes were good.
Yeah, that was like a big upgrade for the game. I mean, they played identical.
Oh yeah,
they didn't put any extra content in them, but it's just like the little tweaks here and there just made it perfect. But yeah, like I say, we'll go over like, you know, some of the games and things like that. But there is one addition that I don't know if it was like a legal thing or anything, or if it was just something in Japan. But one of my mates got hold of it, and I don't know if he'd borrowed it off a friend or if he'd actually like had it himself. But he had it for fucking ages, and it was an adapter you can put on top of the console.
Is this so you could play other?
You put floppy disks in.
Oh,
right. So basically, you put floppy disks in, and it had like loads of, think of it as like an old school emulator, essentially.
Right.
But it was all the SNES games, and they were all on floppy disks from like Japan and America and Europe and things like that. And you just pop them in and you'd play on that. It was fucking brilliant. Literally.
That's mental.
Yeah. You just literally opened it up and that was it. And I was like, how is this a thing? And it was literally like a big block just sat on the top of the console, but in the actual cartridge, so like you clip it in and away you go. It was fucking awesome.
See, I had the PAL 2, whatever the American thing is.
NTSC.
Yeah, NTSC, yeah. Whatever it was. I had that converter so I could play American cartridges on my thing. And that was a legal thing. That was actually made by Nintendo, which was awesome because the American carts felt well different than the English carts.
I don't know. And that's what
threw me. My first one was Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo Championship Edition.
Nice.
Because, you know, you just couldn't get more complicated titles to go with, just SF2. But I was like, wow. But like that felt well different, and that had like different characters in than my version that I had, just normal Super Street Fighter 2.
Because aren't the American ones like more blocky? Because like the European cartridges are curved on the top, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a bit more blocky.
We even got the better cartridges.
Yeah, we did.
Like, America really lucked out. Game's identical and everything. The consoles work fine. They're probably brilliant. But we got the better looking stuff.
Yeah, we did.
It's not very often Europe gets that.
No, that's true, really.
We managed to do it with an entire console, which is absolutely brilliant. Not on us. But yeah, so like the adapter thing that I'm on about, like, I don't know if it was like a third party thing or what, but it was absolutely mental. And like I say, you just put the floppy disks in and it would just load the game. So there's like a game that me and my mate used to play all the time, and it was basically some dude with black hair and had a massive wooden mallet, and he'd literally just go around hammering things, and it was a platformer, dead cartoony, dead stupid,
right?
But it was a Japanese game and it was brilliant, and we'd sit there for hours playing it, and we never completed it because it got really hard towards the end. But then obviously you got all the other like mad games like your R-Types and things like that, and
yeah,
so all of those were on there as well. And literally like some of them should be like European games or American games or the Japanese games, and we just pop them in and just blast through them. So like he was like proper spoil in the sense of like
choice of games he could play.
But then some of that you just won't appreciate now compared to like the joys we had as a kid. And I know you've mentioned it a few times, going down to like Blockbusters or something.
Renting a game. Yes.
Oh, that was a big risk, but I remember it very, very specifically with the SNES. Because it would always go down like every weekend, me and my mate would go down and it'd be like, we've got a bit of money, so we'll go halves on a game to rent over the weekend. And then he'd either come around mine and stay at my house, or I'd go around his and stay at his house. And basically, we'd go down, like, just pick a random game out and look at the box art and be like, that looks cool, we'll go on that. And then take it home, batter it for the weekend, take it back. And it was just like, it was a 50-50 thing. You're either going to get something that you really enjoy or a bag of shit.
Yeah.
And there's always that, like, you know, one game that always like, stands out where you've, like, battered it and either loved it or hated it. And my one, there was... It was a clown, and you know I hate clowns anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But as a kid, it was a little cartoon clown. I was like, I don't know, it doesn't look that good. And he was like, oh, it looks really, really good.
I think, is this a kid clown?
It might be, and you run like up a level, avoiding stuff to get to a bomb at the end of the level.
It was always on Games Master.
Yeah.
That game was always on Games Master.
I think that may have been where you seen it or something then, but it was fucking awful. And all you done was ran up a map and jumped over stuff or avoided stuff and kicked a bomb away at the end, and it just never seemed to end. And he loved it, and I fucking hated it. It was shit. And we sat there, and he was like, oh, let's put this game on. I'm like, no. Oh, come on, let's say, no. And then he'd like put it on and be like, fuck it, I'm going home. Didn't stay that weekend, so I'd wasted like my pocket money on a game that was a pile of shit.
I remember my first one I rented out was Earthworm Jim, which, let's be honest,
is incredible.
It's an amazing game.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing game. And I remember getting home and being like, this is going to be insane. Like, this is going to be so much fun. It's going to be totally radical because I was a kid and that was the word.
Yeah.
And remember placing it in, didn't work. Tattoo the old classic.
Pop it out.
Pop it out using the ejector button. Give it a quick blow.
Yeah.
And then open up the little slot bit. Give that a quick blow.
Yeah.
Slap it back in. Boom.
Yeah.
On it started. And then all of a sudden it starts talking about queens with queens for a butt.
Yeah. It's queen slug for a butt, wasn't it?
Yeah. Psychro. And I was like, what's going on? And stuff about cows. And I'm like, this game is going to be weird. Yeah.
See, because I played that before I'd watched the TV show.
Yeah, that's the way it should have happened.
Yeah, so obviously, like when you play that, your mind gets opened up to the world of weird. It really does. Like,
yeah,
you just have no idea what the hell's going on, and then eventually watch the TV show. It's like, oh, now it still doesn't make sense.
Well, but I think because it was a game before the show. Because I remember being dead excited on Sky. There used to be a channel called CITV.
I think that was just ITV.
Oh, no, it was like CTV or something like that, because it was a Sky channel, and every day you used to have a countdown as to when the Surfer and Dream cartoon would start.
Yeah.
And I remember getting so excited about this, being like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, because it wasn't Sky Digital, like, you couldn't record it.
Yeah.
Like that, where you could use your videotape.
Like, but you had to, like, watch it.
You'd sit there and watch it. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. My mum was like, I'm really happy for you. Like, this is going to be really good. And then she sat there, like, What is this? Like, Earthworm Jim, he rockets through the sky. Earthworm Jim, he's such a groovy guy. And I was like, this is amazing. And like, loving it. Like, and it was an amazing cartoon anyway. But then running back upstairs and being like, I want to play. Oh no, I rented it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. So then you'd buy it. But the game only took about an hour to complete, an hour and a half to complete. Didn't take long at all, but it was just so much fun.
Mm.
And like, I loved it. And like, the sound as well, the sound from the SNES was amazing compared to the Mega Drive.
We kind of like brushed over this, didn't we, like in the last podcast, where the sounds on the Mega Drive sounded like really tinny, and I don't know, for certain games it really worked, but the majority of the games it didn't. Whereas the SNES, it just had like, everything about it was just perfect. Like the sound quality for it was just perfect. So you got like proper nice melodies and songs, so that if you needed like a softer score, you could have that, and it didn't sound all grungy and horrible. If you wanted, like, you know, the heavier effects, you could have that with the sound. It's a very difficult thing to explain, but if you just put, like, a game that was on both consoles, put one soundtrack on, put the other soundtrack on, you can tell the difference straight away which one sounds better.
I mean, the thing with me, it was always, like, going and playing the likes of Phantasy Star on the Mega Drive, where, like, the battle tune and stuff like that was a bit, like, sound quality's not great for this. And then going on the SNES and playing like a Final Fantasy or Chrono Trigger and being like, damn!
Well, you can just tell the
difference. And to this day, still listening to soundtracks.
Yeah.
Because they're amazing.
Yeah. That's just the beauty of it. But then, like, there's certain games, like, again, on the Mega Drive, where, like, Streets of Rage, one of my favourite games for the Mega Drive especially, had like a really, really good soundtrack. It fit the game perfectly. And I'd like, you'll be playing the game, you really like listen to it and everything. And like, it gets you pumped for the game. But then like, you put on something like Star Fox and the intro music to that, like when you do the first mission, you're fucking pumped and you want to shoot down everything just because of the music. It fits perfectly. And it's so, so good. It gets you all hyped and everything. And even down to simple things like if you die on Star Fox, like just a little tune you get as you crash in, things like that, and all the explosions are going off. You're just like, this is like an incredible leap in sound. You don't expect it, and it just hits you. But because it hits you so hard, it sticks with you.
Yeah.
And they still sound great to this day.
Well, they do, because again, they're on the SNES Mini.
Yeah.
The minute Star Fox 1, and if you complete the first level of Star Fox 1, you then unlock the never released before Star Fox 2.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, and like, back in the day, apparently that would have been like the one thing that would have twisted your melon so much that you're like, what? Because it was just such, even though Star Fox 1 was amazing for its time, like this apparently was just like a huge, massive like increase on it, which would have been amazing. So like now when you play it, you're like, it looks like Star Fox. Like, you know, it looks and plays just like Star Fox. But back in the day, you would have been like, oh, wow.
I mean, like, if you put the first Star Fox on now, it looks terrible. It's like, obviously, at that age where they're experimenting with the polygon graphics and things like that. And it does stick out like a sore thumb. But the gameplay is still there. The sound is still there. The fact that you can, like, go into, like, a first-person perspective of sorts, and you get like the big like targeting things to go aim and things. Everything about it is all still there. There's still loads of enjoyment to have from it, and it really sticks with you. But it's not just Star Fox. I found that the SNES had a really bizarre ability to take something that you probably thought shouldn't go in a game, but then you put it in a game and it becomes incredible.
Are you talking about Uni Rally?
Yeah.
That was really? Is that what you're going with? What the hell? That is a game that really shouldn't actually be.
Just for again, those who don't know, it's you're a unicycle and you race, and the unicycles have got different colours and different names, and the actual like list of unicycles you could pick from is fucking ridiculous. It's a big list, but they're all just a unicycle. There's nothing special or different about them. That game is so much fun, though.
Yeah.
Doing, like, all these flips and, like, spin around everything, landing, get, like, the angle just right. Think of it like Trials, but, like, more arcadey, I think, isn't it? Sort of like that, but without the difficulty. Like, if you crash, you kind of just, like, bounce, slow down, and carried on racing. And you just had to beat your opponent, nice and simple. Mm-hmm. But if you'd done stunts in the air, you'd go faster when you landed.
Yeah.
And it was just mental. Like, that shouldn't be a game. The ability to, like, you know, rag around as a unicycle should not be something, but the SNES just seems to have that ability to just take something random, throw it out there, and there you go, there's a game. Even, like, Chrono Trigger you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
One of the characters in it is a frog. Why not?
Yeah.
What makes it better, like, you know, just because he's a frog, he's got a cape. What about a big sword? That'll do it, yeah. Fuck it. That sticks in my head now. Frog with a big sword and a cape.
Yeah. The thing is, that's what the SNES started over in the West doing so well was JRPGs.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you think of RPGs, you'll either think of the PS1 or you'll think of the SNES.
Yeah, a lot of people's
always
like,
start off either
favorites
or.
Is usually like Final Fantasy VII or Final Fantasy VIII. It's one of those, isn't it? But then a lot of people also adore the likes of, I know I've mentioned it there, Final Fantasy VI in America. Over here, I think it was number 3 when it eventually got released.
And that's the one that's on the mini.
Yeah. So things like that, like those games, again, for the story, the sound quality and everything like that, everything about it, it was just a perfect RPG, like a perfect console for RPGs as well. And there was the catalogue for it. I mean, you got like Secret of Mana and things like that.
Yeah.
Which, again, another wonderful score for it, like a mental story that really like draws you in. It's just incredible, and the SNES done that perfectly. And even down to, like, I know a lot of people consider like the PS1 as their favorite console and things like that. You know, everyone's got their own individual choices. Or even some wallies out there that consider the Mega Drive the better console. They're wrong. But still, they're entitled to their opinion.
No,
even though they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the SNES had just that perfect like balance between like the variety of games. PS1 had some really good games, but nothing that truly stood out as much as the SNES. As I say, like, because something as simple as a unicycle, that stuck in my head for all of these years, and games that I used to play on the PS1 that I absolutely adored as a console, like one of the games that I used to absolutely batter, I've completely forgotten about. If someone mentioned it, I'd go, oh, fuck yeah, I used to play that. I probably couldn't tell you anything about it. But I can remember a unicycle ragging around a track.
Mm-hmm.
And the SNES just had that ability to do that. And I just think there's something just special about it. And that's why I'm really happy that the SNES Mini's been brought out. And there's a huge part of me that wants to buy it. But on the same hand, I think I'd be personally much happier just going out buying a SNES and getting all of the games that I like instead.
Well, that's the thing, because I was saying to Michael Adam work, he bought one, and he keeps sending me photos of it next to like the Xbox One pads, and it's like tiny compared to the Xbox One pad and stuff. I'm like, yeah, great. And he's like, oh, playing Donkey Kong. And I'm like, right, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go up in the loft to get the SNES out with Donkey Kong. And he's like, oh, I'm going to play Final Fantasy 3. I was like, brilliant, I bought it Dave for his birthday the other year. I'll ask him if I can borrow it. I will play that. And he's like, oh yeah, but Super Mario World is amazing. Awesome.
All stars have got.
I've got it. Like, I'm not being funny, but why limit yourself to 21 titles?
Yeah.
When I think we had like, I've got like 50 or something upstairs, just like there to play.
Right where you are. So and I'm just I mean,
that's amazing.
Value for money wise, it's pretty good.
It's
as
unbelievable.
Well.
For what it is, it's amazing. And to talk about your memories and stuff, awesome. If you've got a SNES, though,
yeah, you've got it already, and you can probably just buy extra games for it, which is going to be a lot easier. But even so, like, I mean, I don't personally own a SNES anymore, but I would still rather go out and buy a SNES than a SNES Mini. I don't know what it is. I mean, like, the concept of the SNES Mini is perfect. I think, like, it's fantastic. And there is still, even though I'm saying, like, I just go out and buy a SNES, there's still a huge part of me that wants to buy the SNES Mini just for what it is.
I want them just to have on my shelf. Like, they'll never plug them into your card. You get the originals out, but just they just look awesome look just to actually have on your little shelf.
And I think I'd like that, but I think because the SNES was such a big part of, like, my childhood and my gaming memories, and, like, even down to our retro days where we'll, like, you know, pull out all the old consoles, we'll sit down, we'll just batter a load of games and just love every second of it. Mm. And, like, the hours of fun we've had just two, like, dickheads sat in front of a telly laughing our heads off playing a daft game that isn't really that important. But that's what it does. That's what the SNES does. It makes you happy. I mean, you just go, like, we joked about it before, FIFA Rage. You put on an Xbox One now with FIFA and you hear people screaming away, throwing a pad at a wall, fucking up the pads and everything, punching TVs and things. And you're like, you dickheads. Yeah. This is not what gaming is. Turn that off. Go get yourself a SNES Mini. They need a SNES Mini.
They need a SNES Mini.
Go put Donkey Kong on. Get some proper Rage and you'll still love it.
See, I've had the Donkey Kong theme tune stuck in my head for ages. So I was sitting in work like a couple of months back going, do-do-do-do, 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 do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- like, it's probably from one of your games. I was like, yeah, I get that. Like, that, I think
obviously from a game.
That's what it is. I'm not being rude, but yeah. I'm like, I know that's from a game. What game is that from? Like, I just genuinely can't. And Mike was looking up and smiling. He's like, I know. I'm like, oh my God, what is this? And I was like, and then I looked at my hand. I was like, shit, it's cranking yeah. the gramophone thing. And that's what it's from. And I was like, ah, amazing. And I was like, a Donkey Kong Country. What a game. And yeah. like, that game was just, it's one of the best platformers of all time.
Out of the first three, which is your favourite?
The first is my favourite.
I think mine too, actually.
Hands down.
See, I love the first one. The third one I adored, but it was really difficult. The second one, hang on, which one? No, the second one had...
Is all about Diddy.
Diddy Kong. The third one was the Trixie. One with Trixie. No, it was the second one I really enjoyed. The third one, I didn't like Trixie, and I just called him Fat Baby because I could never remember his fucking name. He was the chunky one.
Yeah, the little one with the blue shirt.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, I couldn't remember his name, so he was just Fat Baby.
Let's call him Donk.
Donk. So basically, Trixie and Donk, like, I couldn't get into as much as characters. I didn't enjoy them as much.
Is it Trixie? Is it Trixie or Dixie? Dixie makes rings a massive bell. I don't know. I don't think Trixie is anyone.
It just in my head because you said Trixie. But yeah, but either way, that one, it just shows that I couldn't get into the characters as much. But the game itself was still fucking brilliant, even not liking the characters for it. The hours of
Dixie
fun.
Kong.
Is it Dixie? Yeah.
Dixie Kong. Oh, and that stupid fucking baby.
Is he called Donk?
I'm having a quick look now to see if it is Donk.
Stupid fat baby. Don't Google that.
I did it the other day. I Googled something accidentally in work the other day that I shouldn't have done. And I'd be like, oh, sorry, I've accidentally Googled. Like, it was, so I typed in the wrong thing. I think I was trying to type in prawn and I accidentally typed in porn head.
That's what happened.
And I was like, oh God. So,
and then
yeah.
I went into the search bar and accidentally typed in big floppy dicks.
Kiddy Kong.
Oh, God.
What, they seem stupid, right? But the original Donkey Kong Country, it came with a CD.
Yeah.
Again, amazing. Primal Scream, Get Your Rocks Off. Nice. It was just like amazing. and that song always reminds me of Donkey Kong Country. Because I remember I had to wait to play it because Chris wanted to play his FIFA, the first FIFA, instead of playing Donkey Kong first. I'd be like, well, it's his console. You've got to let him have first go.
It's your console. That is rollerblades.
Right, okay, great. So I'll sit there, play FIFA soccer ball because I'm not asked about FIFA soccer. But that was when it was fun, when it's top down. You could run away from the ref so you didn't get your card. Hmm. And it was entertaining. But then as soon as that was over, I was like, get out the fucking way. Slam. Like, in goes Donkey Kong. Start playing. And literally, world by world, that game got better and better and better. Their minecart levels are amazingly good fun. I know you hate them, but I
They're notoriously difficult, but they are, even though it's one of those, I don't hate them in the sense of like I dislike the levels.
It's not like an underwater level.
But see, this is what I was going to get to, right? Underwater levels in games, I hate. They always make me feel like uncomfortable. Echo the Dolphin, the prime example, fucking hate that because of that fucking big octopus. But the underwater levels in Donkey Kong, because the music is so beautiful soothing and everything, it's just great. Like, to the point where the other week I sat there and the music was like playing over him, kind of like yourself. I set it as my alarm tone to wake up in the morning.
Oh,
it's so relaxing. So like, literally, it just starts off and I open my eyes with a massive smile on my face. Loads of memories come flooding back. But
and then you're like, can't come into work today. Yeah. Sorry.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
Hang up, Dave. Do, do, do. But like, the water levels, because of the music and how relaxing it was, and obviously as well because of the game just being so much fun, I actually adored those levels. I really got excited to get onto those levels.
Mm-hmm. In playing as On Guard, the swordfish.
Yeah. Oh, see, even like the animals and things in Donkey Kong was brilliant. But yeah, just like, again, it just shows like the SNES just had a knack for just doing things correct. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the whole console was about. Just those little fine tweaks here and there that just like just made everything really good.
That's it. Literally, it was. And still to this day is one of the pinnacles of gaming generations. Yeah. Like, the SNES was just unbelievable. Like we said, so not only did it do like an amazing thing with like with the MIDI system for the sounds, like phenomenal the use of sounds. The Mode 7 graphics, the way they tried to bring it across, absolutely phenomenal with that. The multi-tap.
Brilliant.
Amazing. So we can have four player Super Bomberman. Amazing. Made games even better because they put Super in front of it.
Yeah.
You know, amazing. Again. Mega Drive tried it a couple of times with Mega stuff, but never worked out that well. You had just like an amazing back catalogue to this day that you will always go back and pick up and play. And it, because it just, it's that stage where it's retro, but not too retro. It's not 8-bit. That everyone seems to go back to now. The 16-bit is just so much niceness about it.
It was, they took a concept that worked and tweaked it to virtual perfection.
It really was. I mean, I could still, to this day, sit there and play Super Tennis for about 12 hours.
And the thing is, again, it was another game I was terrible at, but I loved playing it. It was just, again, loads and loads of fun just to pick up and just batter.
No, and it was Super Tennis,
so exciting.
And Super Soccer were great sport titles, and I would happily sit there and play them for hours on end. They were superb. So it even did like the sports games. Like, I wasn't really a massive fan of sport games at all. But so we had Super Tennis, Super Soccer, Tiny Toon Adventures, Wild and Wacky Sports.
That was great.
That was an amazing sports title. It was like the Olympics, basically, is what it was, but for Tiny Toon.
And obviously all the sports events were just mental.
Yeah, they were. But it was amazing. And that was the first game I proper found a use for the turbo pad.
Yeah. If you didn't have to tap on the buttons, you could just literally just hold it. So much easier.
And it was just, it was amazing doing the shot put and whatnot. It was so much fun, but I loved them and I genuinely didn't mind doing sports titles, but they were really fun. Introduced me into RPGs, like hands down. Like, I started off doing Zelda, like, and again, A Link to the Past is one of the greatest titles ever. I adored that game so much that when I was like, I think I bought it, it was Power Magazine, I think, or something like that. Nintendo Power, in fact, I think it was. And you're reading about the SNES, and I was like, reading about the Final Fantasy titles and Chrono Trigger and like Secret Manners and like the best RPGs coming towards the West and stuff. And you're like, looks like Zelda. I'll give that a go.
Yeah.
And I remember just being like, oh my God, this is so hard. I'm like, I don't understand. I genuinely don't understand. And I walk in and things are coming out and the screen's changing and then going into a fighting thing. Like, this makes no sense. But it was fun and it was really enjoyable. Like, I don't think I ever completed any of them when I was a kid. Just because when it gets to the stage where you got to proper think, your tactics out and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like 8. So I'm like, like, they're so confusing, but like going back now and playing it, obviously I would sit there and absolutely annihilate them, just like, yeah. Absolutely, just like get so absorbed in it. But this I is adored the thing. Them.
Like it's a console that like I've got like the top of the line in gaming consoles. We've got the Xbox One, we've got the PS4. I've recently got a PC that cost me over a grand to put together and everything. So that's all there. And I can play like all these incredible games. And I'd still rather just go back and pick up a game that was 20 years old.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre thing, isn't it? But that's just how special the console was and still is to this day. And I know there's a load of people that, like, you know, obviously have different opinions, as I say, with consoles. There's a lot of people out there that still cherish the console, and rightly so. And I think that's why, like, it's just nice to have that SNES Mini be released now. Because you've done the Nintendo Mini as well, and that obviously got like a lot of love and praise, because even that had some like fantastic games.
But... yeah, it did. But that's, again, so the original NES Mini had like a handful of great titles and then some like okay, let's just throw out some random ones. And you're like, the SNES Mini? I can't name one bad game from that SNES Mini. Like
top games.
Every single one of them, I'm like, classic. Oh my God, amazing.
Tell you what is amazing. The SNES perfected it, and no one will tell me otherwise. The ability to have something fly towards the screen and then fade out again. So, like, as an example, in Turtles in Time, the turtles like falling towards the screen, and then it'd like flip it around, and you'd see them like falling away.
Yes.
In Final Fantasy, they have a meteor coming towards the screen, so it like fills up the entire thing, and then it flips from the other side, and you see it like falling towards the ground and everything. The SNES perfected that shit.
Yeah, it did.
Definitely. And as soon as you see it, you're like, yeah, that's a SNES thing. If you have stuff coming towards the screen now, not really ask. Because it, like, comes towards and then, like, sails past and it's like,
yeah.
Yawn. No, that's amazing. I want it filling up the entire screen with that hideous close-up of pixel mess. And then it fade away. That's what I want.
It was amazing. Back. I loved that. And Turtles in Time, again, we've talked about Turtles in Time and the Turtles games on another pod, but again, on SNES, they were well better than any of the Turtle games on the Mega Drive.
I mean, Turtles games in general, like, you know, like the SNES one, the Turtles in Time, which is just one that I know we have mentioned it before. Me and you have absolutely battered them over the years. The amount of times we've played them, completed them, just perfect. But again, the sound and the music and everything for it.
And that was the era of side-scrolling beat-em-ups.
Yeah.
It, like, they disappeared around Trace after the 16-bit era, after like there's one or two that came out.
They kind of went all like, you know, jumping on that 3D bandwagon, didn't they? And sometimes he worked, sometimes he didn't, but they just weren't as memorable as like Final Fight, things like that. Like, and they just stand out like as really good like side-scrolling beat-em-ups, whereas I can't think of any that have come out in later years that even hold a candle to it. It's like, nothing. And because that obviously, as you say, like it kind of like fizzed away, it faded off. I don't think they do that type of game anymore. And if they do, it's
there's one that's coming out, and I think it's called like Riot Rage or something that we played at like a few expos now that's coming out. It's like a proper old school one.
Okay.
And it looks quite fun. But whenever I look at it, I'm like, damn, I just want to play Rival Turf. I'm just like, there's so many like other classic 2D beat-em-ups that I want to go back and play them instead. Like, those side-scrolling beat-em-ups are just phenomenal. And that's the thing, that's the peak. That's the peak of best 2D platformers you'll ever have, best sports titles that you'll ever play, the best RPGs to go through, and just like literally the best, it's just got the best of all.
Best of mental games as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's like when Nintendo were at the peak.
Yeah, they've never been able to replicate that.
I mean, it's weird because like, obviously like the Wii has, like, you know, I think that one was the record, hasn't it, for like most units sold.
Yeah.
It now holds the record for, like the game that sold the most is Wii Sports.
Yeah, because it came with bundled, and it took over Mario, didn't it? Which was bundled with the original NES.
Yeah. So I think that holds a record at the moment. Still, I'm not too sure. And I know obviously that like records wise, as I you know overtaken, which is, you know, hats off to Nintendo that, you know, when they do something right, they do it fucking right.
Mm.
And they,
but then when they do it wrong though, they do go completely wrong.
And it's a shame. Like, I mean, like the other end of the spectrum would be like the Virtual Boy, which had like, what, 20 games for it in total?
Yeah, if that. I think I've only ever seen two or three. I think we talked about someone on the other pods that I do, because there was one that was in sale in CEX for like 500 quid or something stupid. And you're like, wow, and it come with the Mario one.
And you're like, wow,
that's utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
I want one.
I need it.
But no, I shan't. Yeah,
but then like, Nintendo, that kind of weird company where even if they do, like the GameCube, not a commercial success by any means, like, you know, it was hit and miss for the games and things like that, but then like the controller for it, for some reason, everyone went mental for it. It was perfect.
Yeah.
So like even like with the Smash tournaments, they actually had to release adapters to use GameCube controllers so people could carry on using them. And I just find that mental. So like when they do something right, it's right, it's perfect, and everyone adores it. But when they do something wrong, people just turn their back on it straight away. And you never get that with the SNES. It's always perfect.
Yeah. Like I can't think of many bad titles that are out on the SNES. I know there was lots.
There's bound to be loads. There was thousands of games.
I've got one, haven't I? What was that, Dr. Frankenstein or Young Frankenstein or something that we picked up from the market for like
one
a quid?
The Frankenstein monster's got like the big head and the shades. And he's like the pinnacle of 90s cool, and it's just this is shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all...
That's the only one I can think of at the minute, but you completely outtake that with like amazing things. Yeah. And again, it did RTSs amazingly well. So you had... Because you got the mouse with it, you could play, you know, the likes of... Command and Conquer, Cannon Fodder.
Yeah.
You could rag around and play Cannon Fodder. There was a few RTSs that was out and about, and like Megalomania and stuff. It was amazing, and that's what did so well. And like playing Mario Paint, creating your own tune on Mario Paint and stuff was like amazing. Actually. Educational titles with like Mario is Missing. Like, I enjoyed that back in the day. Like, I know we played Mario in Time or something like the other year, and we were like, oh, let's stick that on. And we're like, what is this?
What is this shit?
And like, but at the time, it would have been ace. But
I know what you're saying. It's like, there's lots of things that always stand out and stick in your memory. But like I say, it's what I was saying earlier with like the PS1 games I use as an example. Like the SNES games stick in your mind. The memories are constantly there. And it's not just you remember the game, you remember what you were doing whilst playing the game, who you were with whilst playing that game. Even down to little details like the levels or a little glitch you found and things like that. And you don't get that with like COD.
No.
You just don't. It's like, oh, well, like 10 years from now, like you're talking about COD, it'll be like, oh yeah, I managed to get a 10 prestige. Congratulations, you've achieved just as much as a 13-year-old that sat there doing it all fucking day and night and sits there calling your mum a fat slag. Bravo, you. But you know what I did? I jumped on, I was a fucking unicycle. did you do that? No, I fucking did. You just remember all these like little fun details about them.
And the one game that I'm genuinely surprised you haven't brought up yet, because we...
Is it Kirby?
It's not Kirby, but you should talk about Kirby. I was going about Street Racer.
You know, I was going to mention that as well, when you were talking about the sports title.
As soon as I mentioned Mario Kart, I thought you'd be like, Street Racer.
Street Racer's a fucking... bomb.
I don't understand how I could be so amazing at Mario Kart and so horrendous at Street Racer.
And this is it, and I'm the other way, aren't I? I'm incredible at Street Racer, but rubbish at Mario Kart. But the thing is, like, again, this was another one I played with my mate, and he had both, so we'd like alternate between them. And so I'd say we probably played them both the same amount of time, so you'd think I'd have the skills for both. But no, Mario Kart, I have none. Street Racer, I'm incredible. I'm unstoppable at that. But I've still got it on the PS1 as well.
Yeah.
Where you'd be driving around and the actual level turns.
So confusing.
Yeah, because it's weird. Because like, obviously in racing games, it's the actual, like, I don't know if it's still like that now, actually. I know years ago it used to be the actual map would turn, not the car.
Mm.
So the animation would look like the car's turning around corners, but it's the actual track itself that you're turning, essentially, is the way it works out. But on the Street Racer on like the PS1 especially, it was painfully obvious. It was the math that was turning, and you could be playing it for hours and you'd start feeling nauseous with it because it just wreck your head. Well, Street Racer is the fucking bomb. I love that
I was
game.
Awful at the main game, but I love playing the sumo game.
Yeah.
When you had to get them out of the ring, or the football game as well. That was entertaining. Oh, like, we had so much fun with them.
Again, so the one we battered for hours and hours. But yeah, Kirby as well, like, and the Kirby Dream Course especially, I think it was called.
Yeah.
The weird, like, miniature golf styled game. That was so much fun. You'd go around and you'd be able to collect the power-ups, like, in the main Kirby game. And use them to either, like, fuck over your opponent.
Which you did quite a lot.
Yeah. Or you could use it to, like, get to the hole and things like that. But you could put spin on Kirby and everything. It was just brilliant. But again, that was another one we rented from Blockbuster. That we were like, well, I was at that age where I'm like, I'm curious about golf. I think I like it. I'm not 100% sure. But I know I love Kirby. Mm. So surely this can't be a bad thing. My mate was like, oh, I don't know. No, I don't think it's going to be that good. So, come on, we'll give it a go. And I talked him into it, battered it. The amount of games we played on that. And even today, like, I still adore the game.
Yeah, you do.
Just because it's so silly, so ridiculous, but so much fun. So, yeah, definitely Kirby and Street Racer, some of my favourite.
And one which we never played when it originally came out because we didn't get it over here.
Yeah.
But when we had like a retro day, we were like, we're in the mood to play something that we don't possess. So we went and naughtily played some games on an emulated device.
No.
Yes. But we played Battle Tetris, Dave.
Oh.
This is one of your all-time favourites.
Yes. Now, obviously, Tetris, I've gotten like quite good at over the years.
I'm awful.
Battle Tetris is essentially, it's just Tetris, but you get to pick a character. And every so often you'll get these like little pink dots in the blocks. And if you destroy them, each dot gives you a power up and you can basically collect them all to get like essentially your big ultimate attack. So you can only hold four at a time, but each dot gives you a more powerful move. So sometimes it can be like it'll put holes in their blocks. Other times it'll move like all your tiles over to one side of the screen. So it clumps them all together, things like that. But it only came out in Japan. And me and you had it on like an emulator, and we started playing it, and it's like, oh, let's give it a go. And we were just like blitzing through a load of like weird games, got to this one, and then for some reason just spent a good like 2 hours on it, just playing Tetris. But the amount of fun we had with it.
The amount of fun you had?
We had, well, I had definitely. And I mean,
because I've never won one. Game of this, and we've done this for years now.
Yeah.
And I still point blank, I get so far, I'm like, oh my god, I'm doing all right. And then you'll pick up something which will then swap our things over.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden I'll have like one block left at the top, and then boom, dead. I'm like, I was doing all right, but you save your stuff and I just use them straight away.
Yeah.
And this is the issue
like
I had.
Picking your moments,
it's so
like,
frustrating.
It's kind of like screen looking, because obviously, like, especially on the older consoles, like you just have the two grids, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Where you move yours and I'd use mine. And then if you knew what the abilities were, you could pick the perfect opportunity to like fuck them over. So like one of them was you'd basically use the ability and it would stop you moving the block left and right.
Yeah.
So like,
or just spinning it round.
Yeah, you'd see the block coming down, like, and you'd try and move it over to a part where it was like obviously clear some space, but you'd start off on like the part which you're like right near the top of the screen, and then I'd use it then, and he'd just basically like, no, just watch this block slowly coming down, like, I got to move it, no, this is bullshit, and then you die, and then throw a temper tantrum. But again,
it's just meant to, and like, the worst one you ever had was it would make my side of the screen go black, and I just had a little spotlight.
Yeah.
And I had to try and like figure out what the hell I was doing with that. I was like, oh my god, it was so infuriating.
But so much fun. And again, another little tweak to the simple premise that just made it more fun. I'd love something like that now on these consoles, like, you know, like just as a download. I'd batter the shit out of that then. I'd fucking love it. I think it's incredible.
You know what? Sod it. Right, we're going to have a game of Battle Tetris right now. So, you know, as much as I've enjoyed this, I need to see if I can win one of these. So, yeah, hopefully you enjoyed a little trip down memory lane all about the SNES. I know I did. And you know it's got me pumping. We were going to batter some PS4-age, but now I'm just going to go get the SNES out.
Yeah.
and we're going to do a play. Right. So thank you anyway for listening. And as usual, if we missed out any of your favourites or anything that you think we went a little bit OTT with, minus Dad in Pants, hit us up on our Facebook, Twitter pages, which is the usual, facebook.com/sidequestactivated, twitter.com/sidequestactivated. But for now, I've been Reginald.
I've been Dave.
Side quest complete.